Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn. Oh, the World Cup's great, isn't it? Oh, it's so good. England lost. That hurts. We lost in a way that I never thought I would say, which was that we played really well. We had our chances. We didn't take them. But the purpose of this is titled The Best Player, but it's not about the best player. I don't care about your subjective arguments as to who is better between Ronaldo or Messi, or right now it's being curbed as Messi versus Mbappe as the PSG Titans fight it out for the World Cup final. It's not about that at all. If you ask any of your players who are their favorite players, they all likely will mention Messi. So by de facto, you could say Messi is the greatest in the world. But what I'm really looking at here is, what has the World Cup done for our players and for us as coaches or as mentors or as parents to influence our players or to share with our players the quality that has been on display in this World Cup? Because there's been some wonderful players and some unknown players and some unknown teams. And I was on another podcast during this World Cup and talking about reviewing of games. And there were many teams and many players that the consensus was, we're not sure how this is going to go, simply because we're not all that familiar with the players or with the teams. So you ask your players before the start of the tournament, who are your favorite players? We do get Mbappe, we do get Messi, we do get Ronaldo, we might have a little bit of Lewandowski in there, we may have a Griezmann or a Harry Kane, but think about the stars that have come out. And I'm going to run through some stats here, some data around the influence of players, the amount of minutes that they've played, but then also challenge you to think about how your team plays and how you would like certain players to play. Because the argument of who is better between Mbappe and Messi or Messi and Ronaldo doesn't really help us, because I would like for my players, as I'm sure you would like for your players, to take a little bit of each player. But when we argue subjectively, I begin to find that there is a divide where you either love Messi or you hate Messi because you've fallen on the other side of Ronaldo or Mbappe or whoever else you want to say. So then we discredit Messi or we discredit Mbappe and we say, that guy sucks in comparison to my favorite guy. But the reality is they're very different players. They all have equal influence, you could argue, within a team. But now what we're saying is, but look how good Mbappe is when he quickly changes speed. Look how good Messi was in his assist for the third goal of Argentina. He played as a winger, but how you typically play as a winger in youth soccer is you kick it long for the kid to run in the straight line to chase the ball. And don't tell me you don't do otherwise. I scout for ODP. I see it. So then how are we growing from that? Can we use the influence of Messi as he played on the wing and used a couple body shape shifts to not only avoid the fact that he doesn't have top speed over the defender, but Guardiola is supposed to be one of the best upcoming defenders. Is he on anyone's favorite list? No, and he probably won't be, because the media said he sucks in comparison to Messi and Messi just ran all over him, which fair enough, he did, but he was so smart in the way that he did it. And this is what we lose when we say, yeah, but Ronaldo's a better winger. You appreciate the individual capacity of Messi to play on the wing and understand his limitations. How many of your players understand their limitations? How many of your players can you honestly tell them that they are not good enough at this aspect? And it's not to say that they're not going to be good enough in general, but we have to be honest with our players when we work through individual development plans or when we work through whether it's setting goals or feedback from a season. What we're telling our players has to be honest. We tell Messi, hey, you're not fast enough anymore. Messi goes, okay, I have some other ways that I think I can do this. And he trains for it and he plans for it. And of course, he walks a lot of the game, which is now going to be the next level of fear, I'm sure. Everyone's worried that their players are just going to walk around the field. But he uses his speed and he uses his skill at the right moments. And if we open our minds to understanding that our players can appreciate multiple players and there is no greatest of all time, because it's a subjective nonsense measurement that can never be proven, then we may begin to appreciate every single player that plays the game, and especially in such an opportunity like this World Cup. And here's where the World Cup gets really interesting, because of course, players that sit on top of the stats charts, and I use Opta Analyst for this, but players that sit on top of the stats charts are of course players that are going deep in the tournament. So for example, attempted take-ons. Kylian Mbappe has 46. That's exciting soccer. That's the way we want our players to play. If you read my book, 1v1s Outside the Box, you'll understand what I mean. Messi in second with 38 attempts to take on players. But third is the German Jamal Musiala. Remember when we were talking about him, what feels like months ago? But actually, it is just within weeks that now he's out of the tournament and forgotten about. Yet there are so many plaudits around how well he played. He also carried the ball six times that ended in a shot. Only Mbappe's also done six. Messi's the only one higher than that with nine. Then look underneath. You're in North America. We have Buchanan from Canada. He had 28 take-ons. Neymar, 25. Where's Neymar? Neymar played in this tournament, didn't he? But we've forgotten about him too. Neymar was probably up there on everyone's list also. When we look at just simple little things like the, of course, the exciting players. A lot of players are interested in how exciting players are. So again, Messi, chances created, 14, two assists, 84% pass percentage completion. Incredible stats. Then you look at Harry Kane, three assists. He created five chances. Of course, he missed a key one, which was a penalty over the bar, which we don't want to talk about anymore. Jordi Alba of Spain. Remember Spain were in this World Cup also? We got Vinicius Jr., of course, Brazilian, out of the tournament. Bruno Fernandes, Portuguese, out of the tournament. These are phenomenal players that you can watch week in and week out at their club level and you can talk to your players about. But on this world stage now, we've seen them shine, but it's very different on the international stage. So what are we looking for? We're looking for some players that maybe just fell under the radar a little bit. We've got Dembele, Ousmane Dembele, of course, out of the limelight because of Mbappe, but still a phenomenal player. We've got Pulisic, of course, six chances created in his four games, 73% pass completion rate. Now, if you go to any soccer field here in the US, especially when the games were on and US was still in it, a lot of kids are wearing Christian Pulisic shirts. It's phenomenal to see. Last night I trained three players. One of them had a Serginho Dest shirt on, one of them had a Weston McKennie shirt on, and the other had a Pulisic shirt on. It's so awesome to see these kids now beginning to wear the jerseys. Maybe you've seen it for a while in your community, in your neighborhood, but I'm loving that this World Cup is bringing that out of players, that we're bringing out some fandom, we're bringing out some excitement for our players. Now, what about the ugly side of the game? They say the ugly side of the game. If you ever ask any defenders who their favorite players are, of course, they'll say players like Virgil van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk's a phenomenal centre-back. One of my players said Otamendi for Argentina, and everybody laughs at him for it simply because it's like, Otamendi what? Well, Otamendi's going to the World Cup final. Now you look at young influential players. Jude Bellingham won 15 tackles, highest in the tournament so far. Mateo Kovacic. Again, these are central midfielders. These are central midfielders who do the ugly work for our teams and have such an influence in the game, yet often we don't really look at them. Of course, you've got players like Luka Modric in there, Tyler Adams, who was phenomenal for the US, another great player that we can recommend our players watch, especially because the World Cup highlights are going to be so readily available. You'll be able to find Tyler Adams' best moments of the World Cup and watch how strong he is in the game. Watch what he does. Antoine Griezmann. He is fast becoming the pinnacle for this French team. He played in the 10. He controlled the game against England when he was given the chance to. He was excellent. His assist for the second goal, which was own goal, maybe. I don't remember how it was given. But it's still, he played so well. And that's backed up by his defensive stats too. Eight tackles, six interceptions. That's incredible numbers for a player who we just deem to be a attacking midfielder without much other influence in the game. Then we go into looking at things like team stats when we want to consider how our teams are playing. We're looking at just little things, the way they play, like build-up. So now you say your team, you want to play out of the back. Well, of course, you're going to look at teams like Spain. You know, look at teams like Argentina. They build up. We're looking at goals created from building up. Spain had three, England had three. You can send your kids to YouTube and watch highlights of those goals, watch highlights of the team playing and say, this is how I would like for us to play. Maybe you don't want to build up. Maybe you refuse to do so. Well, you might go back and look at Mexico, one true build out for their in their game. We could look at Australia, who made it into the round of 16. Also played with just one build out really throughout the tournament. Now, of course, the trend is showing because a lot of the teams that didn't build out very much didn't go very far. We've got Uruguay in there. We've got Wales in there. We've got Tunisia in there. We've got Iran in there. And now we start to see maybe just a little bit more with teams like Japan tried to play a little bit and play out. And of course, looking at their schedules and the way they played, you can argue that playing out probably wasn't in their interest in their earlier games. And then we can go further to direct attack. Portugal, two direct attack goals, probably what we would call long ball. And if we lose to it in our youth games, we would complain and say, they don't even play the right way anyway, so it doesn't really matter. We look at 10 plus passes, Spain, of course, 135 times in their games, they had 10 plus passes. Now, of course, you can argue, well, they didn't go anywhere. They were knocked out. They weren't very strong. Morocco beat them. Well, Morocco had their own kind of unique way of playing, their own way of trying to control the controllables. They play the way that they can. They play what suits their style, what suits their strengths. And I wonder if you do that with your team. And if you do that, how do you tie what's just happened with this amazing World Cup to the access that our players have? Now, I've watched every single game except the 2 a.m. games. I'm on the Pacific time frame. So the 2 a.m. games, the one I missed, of course, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, that looks like a long time ago because they've since turned it around and pushed on pretty strongly. But then my argument to you now is you can go back and watch these videos, these clips, and see how each team played, each game was played out. There's so much data. There's real life data coming from FIFA. We used to have to wait 6 months for the technical report. That's not so true now. You can make your own technical report out of the information that comes out. And I challenge you to do so. I challenge you to ask your players, send them to the Opta Analysis tweets or send them to their website and ask them to find something significant, significant moments that apply to your players or to them individually or to their favorite players or to your team style of play. You could say to your players, we play like Spain. We want to play like Spain. We want to keep the ball. We want to have 10 plus passes. And then say, okay, find something significant about the way that they played that either helped them or hindered them. And then you may say, of course, they scored 3 goals out of 23 buildups. Now go and find that clip and tell me why it was significant. Were there 10 plus passes in there? Did it end in some sort of breaking of a press? Were there high turnovers every time we lost the ball? And the reason for this is just to connect, again, the players to the wider game, to your team. There's so many ways we can play the game. We all have some sort of identity that we want to align ourselves with. We want to play possession. We want to play high press. We want to play a little bit more direct. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. It's really how you sell yourself against your rival club, which is determining how your team plays, unfortunately, whether that's your doing or not. But you can have your players look at players that were significant. And then over the holidays, ask your players to report back on their favorite players, perhaps from the World Cup. And this is where it gets even more interesting. Players like Haaland at Man City will be on players' favorite lists and, of course, will have a forever impact in the game, but will not shine on the world stage the same way a Messi or a Mbappe or a Neymar can. And that's a shame. It's a huge shame. Even with the World Cup expanding, even with the Euros expanding, you can expect to see Norway and Haaland playing, but the quality of the team behind him is so low that you don't expect much to come out of it. Look at Lewandowski playing for Poland. You could argue that they have a pretty well-rounded team. But even with the level of Lewandowski and what he's done in the game, they're still not there. They still can't compete on the world stage. So we're going to lose players who won't be at this level, but will be phenomenal at their club. And you could argue that perhaps club players are more important than World Cup players anyway. But this is where the light of the world is right now. Everybody's waiting on this final between France and Argentina. And no doubt we'll be going down the route of saying that Messi is the greatest of all time, or Mbappe is the greatest of all time, because he now has two World Cups. But he's not. There's more to it than that, and it's so subjective. At the end of the day, when all said and done, we could look at every single player on a piece of paper and we can make our own arguments for why one was better than the other, but it's completely subjective. And so I encourage you to avoid those conversations of who's the best in the world and who can we trash. Don't worry about that. Worry about the quality of each player and what they offer to your players to learn from. And I think then we can walk away from a World Cup and all of the drama that's surrounding it and all of the nonsense that came out of the World Cup being held where it is. We can still appreciate the quality of soccer that was played, and we can appreciate every single player that competed in front of our eyes. Tell me what you think. Put it on at Lead on Soccer. I want to know if this has perhaps changed your ways. Perhaps you've started to copy another team's style of play now because you like it. You like the way that they did it. There was a lot of high pressure. There was a lot of high turnovers in this tournament simply because the game's changed so much. The recognizing that possession maybe isn't the right way forward in competitive environments like the World Cup. But I want to know what you think. I want to know what your takeaways are. I want to know how you're engaging your players in such a significant event like this. So again, at Lead on Soccer, I'll speak to you soon.